champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Series 5, Episode 2. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello.
Well, ladies, let's start. You know what I thought was very interesting? I don't know why, I've never seen it before, but we had that little lunch or luncheon or whatever it was when they had everybody around the table and we weren't in the fancy dining hall. Have we been there before?
It looked different to me. It looked,
it definitely felt different.
Because it's not the breakfast, but we're having we're in that huge breakfast room that, and you have a little buffet area.
Well,
that
I feel like
from.
They were maybe once, I don't know if it was last season or the season before, when, Edith was in with, just her dad, with Lord.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They
yeah.
were sitting at that. I don't know if that's the same room.
It was a different room.
Because it was a longer
scale.
Table.
Yeah.
So yeah. So
that was the feeling of it. And the thing was they were drinking wine.
They're drinking wine.
So it wasn't breakfast.
No, not at all. Because they were saying, how was your morning and all that other stuff. So I guess it was lunch. I don't know.
Or maybe this is like, this is what an informal, maybe occasionally they have informal dinners.
I don't know. I mean, it was odd to me because right afterwards we were outside and it was still daylight and I believe it was the same day. But anyway, what I liked about it is so much expos was in that one little meal. We got to hear about Mary's pretext for why she's going away on a drawing outing.
Oh, we'll be sketching. That's what they're calling it these days.
And everybody there bought it?
Yes.
It's like, what, really?
And did she clear it with her friend first? Yeah, is that a conversation you have to have?
Well, like, she told Anna later that somebody was going to cover for her. So she cleared it. And, you know, of course, Bates didn't think it was very...
Mary-like.
He thought it was very bohemian.
Mary-like, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So also, we that was the first time we heard about the wireless, because that was part of the storyline. We also heard about the Russian refugees and that Lord Grantham and Tom got into it a little bit. So that was kind of fun. So all of it was kind of set up. This was kind of a little foreshadowing about the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was kind of like a billboard. We've never had that, at least not my memory.
It was different.
So it was kind of fun. Okay, we're going to follow that storyline. We'll follow this storyline. Thank you very much. There you go. Thank you.
Everything straight for us right at the top
of the
show.
Well, you know, last episode, we were so frantic to try and cover everything. Like, one of our fans actually mentioned, you guys didn't talk about Rose.
We were so busy
because they were just packing in these, one-minute scenes.
Yeah.
And this, it was a little bit frenetic.
And this felt much different because rather than throwing everything in there that we had to catch up on, it felt like he was just nudging the storylines down the street a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's get into the Mary storyline.
Okay.
First of all, since we started with her,
Mary.
You guys have been talking about this being a little more a racier Downton. And what was it?
Saucy.
What
I was going to talk about it in the news.
Okay, we'll talk about it later in the news then. All right. So Mary, of course, is discussing her soon to be tryst with Lord Gillingham.
And like a week long tryst, I might add, too, because she's like, oh, we're going to just drive and sketch and drive and then we'll drive some more
and sketch some more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sketching nudes, I would
sketching
imagine.
Nudes, yes.
Sketching, hashtag sketching is what they're calling it these days.
I loved Anna's thing. Well, we'll have to choose the clothes
carefully. So you can get out of it.
Right. If you'll remember, last episode, Mary had to go upstairs to take off her hat.
Yeah. So I wonder if Anna was going to help her. But no, she's just choosing the clothes carefully so that she doesn't need help taking them off. Of course, Mary with her little quip. Yes. It was little, and again, getting randier, a little saucier. So, but then we get into the whole discussion about consequences. And Anna being naive enough not to really understand what that
was. Which was so cute. Wasn't that a cute moment?
She goes,
you know what I'm talking about.
No,
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
No.
It would be a consequence.
Right?
Yeah. And I also like what Anna was saying, like, if I ever wrote my memoirs, she would have a lot to say. But then the whole discussion about, should the man take care of that? And all this, you know, later on when she's saying no, and we should never.
Don't trust him.
Yeah.
I don't think one should rely on a man in that department.
In that department. But the whole idea that she couldn't be seen out purchasing anything like this, because it would be a scandal for. the Downton Abbey, the Lord Grantham, the whole thing. The whole town would know. Oh, it would be horrible.
One store.
And then she goes, and Anna says, "What do I get recognized?" Well, no one will recognize you. And even if they do.
You're married. It's fine.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. all these, and I'm going, it would never even dawn on me that this would be an issue. And of course, you know, why would it? But I just love that they brought it up and then they were dealing with it and even having some frank discussion about it.
Yes.
And then when Anna has to actually go to the chemist or apothecary or whatever it is that they...
The condom shop?
Yeah. She's still there for a hard time.
Oh, she gets... She's like, okay,
you're married.
But I want to talk about that. Anna had a book.
Oh, that's right.
She had the book that Mary gave her. Marie Stopes' book. I did a little research on that. So Marie Stopes was... she was a women's rights pioneer.
A paleobotanist by education.
Right. And she got married and was in an unhappy marriage, had a hard time getting out of it.
Yeah.
And then started, you know, writing down her thoughts on how marriage should go.
And first of all, she had to figure out how to get out of it.
Right. Yeah. Which was the marriage was not consummated. She was reading legal documents to try and figure that out. Discover that there was the issue of if the marriage has not been consummated, you can get out of it. She wrote this book called Married Sex.
Shocking.
And that was the book that Mary had and that Anna took to the apothecary.
And very clever.
And Marie Stopes opened the first birth control clinic in the United Kingdom.
Wow. So there you go. Thank you very much for doing that research.
Thank you.
So Anna, taking that, armed with that book as well as that knowledge.
Which I thought was a very clever way, right? Just go, you don't have to say anything. You just go,
I need one of those.
This.
Yeah, exactly.
The picture was a little
diagrams.
Different.
I didn't get a good enough picture of it.
I don't know what that was really, but okay.
But I mean, she was so mortified to go in there and then to have some, you know, is there a woman that can help me? And then to have another person come in and have it be a man, and she's just, I mean, she,
that was a great scene.
It was a great scene.
Keep the change. I'm running away.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit further about how the interrogation that happens.
Awful.
Like, first of all, who are they? Shut up.
Terrible.
Who are you?
Exactly.
It's none of your business.
Like, oh, I guess if you don't want any more babies, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, if your health is in danger,
that puts a different spin on it. She says.
When do you get up? Why do you even question it? Who do you just shut up? And give me what I need.
Relax. And she talked about how I don't think that I should have been.
I appreciate that they kind of had that moment where she was like, and I kind of didn't like that.
It seemed unfair to punish me like that, was what she said. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she decided that she's going to go back there and order a baker's dozen. Baker's dozen.
More to show
like,
you.
I think one's enough. This trip.
And I go, you're gone for a week. One's enough.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
Well, the thing is that we're not actually sure. Because one of the other things that Marie Stopes pioneered was cervical caps.
I was
going to
say, was it some kind of insert?
It might have been that. Yeah. We don't exactly
know. Never thought
I'd be
discussing
these things. Which would also make more sense why the woman, why she was okay going to get it. Yeah.
Well, so there we go.
Good.
I kind of remember the diaphragm and all that came out. Goodness gracious.
Mm. Right.
That would make more sense with the picture, though, because it did look like a thimble.
Yes!
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, so we didn't have a good view of that, apparently, so now we have a better understanding.
Sort of like a dome. I was like, maybe it wasn't the actual picture.
I think the point of it was that because she took it so fast, and that's part of it. Part of the scene was that you weren't really supposed to. Some people would catch it, some people wouldn't.
Right, right.
And that's to let us, think about it, discuss these things. Anyway.
It's a cervical cap.
Yeah, it was a cervical cap. So
I'm sure somebody's going to tell me I'm wrong on that.
That's
one of the things I know about Marie Stopes is that was one of the devices that she made available to women. So.
All right, so moving on from that, there's still, right after that scene where Anna's upset, that's where we have the scene with she and Bates in the hallway talking about how he's going, this doesn't sound like Mary, questioning things. And, you know, of course, Anna's just like, don't pay attention to
this.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right.
But interesting how they're not really going any farther or deeper into the Anna Bates storyline just yet. We're going to be saving that for later in the series, I would imagine.
It's coming.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, we have little touches of it. Last week, the little joke Bates says, I know there's one thing we could do. And, you know, so who knows if they're, what their relationship, what the aftermath is of Green and the whole thing. And we just haven't seen any of it. Yeah. So. Oh, we're ripe for that, but we're not getting it.
It's coming, though.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that I wish they'd given just a little bit more just to really get us going because it wasn't enough for me. But moving on from that, Charles shows up.
Oh, just one more quick thing is that Anna talks about this trip being a big risk for Mary. Yes. And I just thought that was, you know, it was very, are you sure about this? Mm-hmm. There is a big risk that you're taking here. So, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, the whole talk of, well, look, I'm ready to get married again.
But that was huge. Like, because think of the risk that she's taking if she doesn't go.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to be miserable for the rest of her life.
And does not want to get divorced.
Right. Yeah.
She's going to try things out. Maybe we'll just live together for a while.
Take that risk, girl. Go live in the city.
And, you know, but again, we can go back to this because we've always asked this question. What were your options back then if you're a woman?
You know,
especially in that station, regardless of your station, what would you be able to do? That's it.
We
have to create this whole scenario just to court.
Right.
So, well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hook up a little bit.
They're that too.
Experiment with the goods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously people did it.
Well, yeah,
and
of
course
they did it. Because it sounds like
that.
But the hoops
you have to jump through
to get to that.
The hoops you were jumping if you didn't have money to do it.
Oh,
like, right.
God.
Goodness gracious.
It's terrible. Right. All right. So, but that's what puts a little wrench in the monkey fork, so to speak, is Charles shows up. What?
Nothing.
All right. Charles shows up. Of course, he's there. Whatever.
Okay.
You know. Ostensibly to be there because they don't want to have Simon Bricker over by himself because they don't know this man.
Weird.
So Cora invites Charles to join them.
Blake.
Charles Blake.
I'm just giving you his last name as well because I don't know who you're talking about for a second.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I think of everybody as Gillingham and Blake. And
I see. But when he shows up the first time, there's tension.
I guess I didn't win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But he also makes his reference to the lithe and supple figure of Tony Gillingham.
That was
like,
funny.
What?
No idea.
So, but let's carry that because the next time we see them after the whole dinner thing, they're in the, I don't know, for what, lack of a better term, it's the fireside room.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Where they always go for the fires.
And they're alone.
Rose leaves very shortly. And then they have their talk, and he's not happy with this decision with Tony and wants her to be sure of it. Mm-hmm. And he really does think that Tony's not as smart or up to Mary.
Dealing with
right.
Mary.
Up to her standard.
He's not as, what do you say? He's not as clever.
He's not as clever as you. And I think he really believes that. I would say he's probably right.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she's not interested in that. But isn't it interesting how they left the scene because he obviously got out of there quickly and she left her hanging and was like, whoa, I'm not done here.
Yeah, she was in the middle of a sip and getting ready to say her next line her next, you know, argument in the conversation and he's like, out.
And both of those scenes were kind of like that.
Right.
And I'm wondering, I go, why? Because normally we don't leave those things. And
left it
certainly made her start thinking.
Right.
So, but what were you guys have any thoughts about that? Well, because we don't usually see the scenes like that.
I thought it was strange that he... not strange. I mean, he's upset, obviously, that he's not number one in line.
Yeah,
but
right.
At the same time, there seemed to be more venom than I expected towards Gillingham from him. And it was kind of nice to watch, actually, because I feel like we got to watch Mary really struggle. Like, even from the moment when she was talking with Anna and sort of seeing she's writhing her hands all the time, like, after that. And then she's sitting there with the wine glass. Like, he tells her this, and she's, like, having her, like... Is this really, like, I kind of like that he's sort of making her be on edge.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the end of last season was let battle commence.
Right.
And all of a sudden there's no battle.
I know. And I was like, whoa, come on. But obviously they're going to, well, not obviously. I'm hoping that later in the series that he'll be back and that we will have the triangle thing going on there. Because I think.
Even if she does the dirty with.
Yes, that's even better.
I mean,
what if Gillingham's just bad in bed? What if that's all it takes?
She's going to find out it's like crooked or too small or something and it's not going to work out.
Oh my goodness.
She doesn't want to. That's part of what.
Talk about saucy.
Yeah. All right, Courtney.
Poor Anna. I'm going to.
Okay. You know, I had no idea where we'd be heading there. But, all right.
Well, because that's the real thing she's really trying to see about compatibility. Let's be
okay,
real. Like,
all right.
There's a portion of it that's like, ooh, can you be my friend forever?
Well,
yeah.
And, you know,
good sex.
The truth of the matter is where you can really learn your compatibility compatibility with someone is when you are traveling.
That's true.
I think that's true now. I think it was probably true then.
Everybody's nodding and agreeing.
Yeah, right?
Get on a road trip.
I would just like say, I'm an excellent travel companion. I've had lots of travel companions, men and women. Not like hey, that. Whoa. I'm just saying, you know, you really discover because, you know, you're tired and you're making decisions. You're and this maybe cranky. Not is true for them in their exact situation.
Because they have
you,
help.
But when you are spending, you know, many hours in a day together, you know, you really learn something about yourself as well as the other
person.
Let's go back
to what Mary said. She even said, in my grandparents' day, they lived so far apart, they wouldn't even know if they disagreed.
Exactly.
And here you put them together, you know,
it's a smaller
on a road trip.
Things,
yeah.
And I think that that's part of her plan, perhaps.
Oh, really?
You know,
to test him out that way as well.
Right, exactly. Okay. It's a, you know, I mean, yes, we keep talking about sex, but it's a compatibility thing.
Sure.
It really is.
And not in all ways.
Because she was incredibly compatible with Matthew.
And fighting it all the way.
Right, exactly.
The whole way.
So.
But she, you know, she loved him and she loved being with him. They had a great life until he had to go die.
And she was always surprised about the way Matthew
so
looked at her and thought about her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's
which
that.
Is also sort of the element that I feel like she was getting with Blake in that fire room. Like, she was kind of like, you're really thinking about me and how I think, and I don't know, is Gillingham going to do it? Because I feel that tension in her brain, too.
And he does challenge her more than Tony does.
Tony's does. Very admiring. Yeah. He's very admiring and wants to.
So it's just different dynamics going on
there,
which is great.
You guys are opening up some good opportunities for where it could
this would be good.
Go more complicated, for sure.
Well, now they're in the bedroom, though. What? How do they?
Well, I don't know. But
they're
we got them
like,
in the hotel.
Let's go to dinner and we'll come back and make love. Yeah, like there was no portion of the trip before that.
Yeah. All night long until we can't
there's
anymore.
There's no sightseeing involved on this trip. Mm-mm.
She can't sleep with him if Blake is really going to be an option.
Well, no, it's a done deal. She's already going to sleep with him. It's going to happen.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But I think that's what makes it even more challenging, more difficult, because now she has had that experience with him. And who knows whether it's horrible or maybe it's amazing.
It's going to be the best
thing
ever.
But because she's spending more time with him, she's realizing, you know, that may be great, but he's not really the one
worst.
I want to spend the time with. So then that's even more conflicting.
Darn it.
Great, huh? That could be fun.
That's interesting.
So, and then the whole idea that, you know, she's saying that, you know, I had to give my real name and I didn't even give it.
But then when he spouted off the best way to lie or whatever is to tell the most truth, I was like, Tony, you're not winning me right now. Like, I don't want to know that you're a good liar
and
you know how to do
and
this.
And he's told the manager.
That's funny,
So he's got it all figured out. But you know, this is area in Downton Abbey that we have. This is uncharted territory. Let's put it that way.
Right.
We haven't gone down these roads and stuff like that. So that's kind of fun, right? So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and whether or not we'll actually we'll end up in the bedroom with them.
Well, we're talking about the risk. They're going to they're going to go out to lunch and have a meal together.
Yes.
And be in town together. Yeah. They are notable people, no matter where they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're in Liverpool, and that's a long way from home, but. You know, they're both notable people. In theory, they could be recognized. And also,
it's not like, you know, who's going to, it's not like that will probably make the paper. I'm guessing it wouldn't.
No, probably
not.
Era
of the paparazzi, the Google or whatever. So the tweetings. And so
But then remember also the other thing that they pointed out was the manager.
Right.
Helped him out
getting
the adjoining room.
That's what I thought. Anna was saying it's a big risk because if people know what's going on and they see you together, it's not just the risk of you. You know, trying Tony out. It's the risk of you being found out.
Yeah,
right.
Somebody's gonna see them going to that hotel room together or coming out.
It might happen.
Okay, and speaking of being found out, the last thing I wanted to talk about this particular storyline is the whole idea that Anna got that from the... she's the one that picked up
the device
control
from
device. And if that ever got back to Bates... Or if that information or that news
and
might come back.
And then he'll be all upset thinking she's secretly trying not to have his baby and then they're going to hate each other
all
over again.
Can you imagine?
Or is she having relations with someone else?
Exactly.
He could
she can, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think, that really puts Anna in a really tough
difficult
spot.
Right, because she's been sworn to secrecy. No one can ever know was the exact phrase that Mary said. So,
and you know, Bates is already, you know, not curious, but he's confused by it or not really buying the whole drawing tour story.
John. I didn't think of that. Now it's going to come back. We already had enough problems with them last season. We want them to be happy this season.
Well, we do, but I mean, let's add that to the mix. You know that we've already got, later on, we know about the witness happening. So man, right. here's the thing. Because I'm wondering why we didn't spend more time in their relationship in the first two particular episodes. And I'm thinking, okay, he's holding that, which is great for Julian to hold that for us. But this will really add a lot of grist for that mill.
I tell you what. Wait till I read the news, okay?
Okay, all right.
Let me just say that.
Did that make me cry? Because I'm starting to get depressed.
It's going to make you nervous.
All right, well, let's move on to the next storyline I wanted to talk about, because we had a very heartfelt goodbye with Thomas and James.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a lot of discussion about them last week and stuff like that. But you felt you could see some honest and some tender feelings between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, later on we learned that... you know, Thomas says the whole thing with Anna about not really being a special friend, but clearly that particular scene was great. I mean, for me, it was wonderful.
I just thought it was so touching the way Jimmy was trying to express his kind feelings toward him
in an inarticulate manner.
Exactly,
but the heart and the emotion of it was there, even though he wasn't very articulate.
Yeah, I never thought that I could be friends with someone like you.
Exactly. Yeah,
which I mean was just. In his unevolved way,
sure.
was such, you know, it was a really kind thing to say.
Yeah, it was.
And I thought it was a great scene.
And the whole
scene.
Thing about, you know, we can write and I'm not really, they're good. And you could
writer.
See that they probably will never see each other again, I doubt it, or anything like that. But there was some genuine friendship there, and that was great and stuff. And we were talking last week about, did Thomas really love him? Did he not? We had a lot of people saying, yeah, of course he did. A lot of people saying, no, he's just a manipulator. It was all over the map. So what we loved about that, it was, the character is written so well and so nuanced and played extremely well by Robert Collier. So it had left up a lot for interpretation, and you could argue any point
right.
and have it be valid. So, but it was nice to see. In fact, I liked it so much that I'm going, I think I want more of that. I want to feel, because Robert Collier does such a good job. You love to hate Thomas.
Yeah, right.
You love to hate him.
Right.
And, you know, that's fun to do in TV because it's not real. Mm-hmm. So, you love to hate him, just like you hated O'Brien, you know, and all the stuff she would do.
Yes.
But it's so good and so much juicier if every once in a while you give us something tender and you start to see the humanity of him, and then you can't hate him as much, and
he needs love.
Yeah.
He needs somebody to love.
That stuff's really good. In fact, the scene with Anna really helped that.
Yes
it did.
She came in. She could clearly see that he's
God
upset.
Bless her. She's so compassionate to everybody, even the guy who's
Saint
just
Anna.
A jerk to pretty much everybody,
including her husband.
Yeah,
But the the things that they were saying, you know, it's nice to have a special friend, and Thomas saying, "Well, I don't think I was special or something like that." But you knew there was something there. It was certainly special for James. Jimmy had never experienced that kind of a friendship with somebody like that, as he says himself. So there was something there, which was nice. But then also you had the whole thing about Thomas saying, look, I'm not very likable around here. And so he's obviously aware of it. Now he knows he has no one else, although Anna's kind of who knows what that's leading into.
And when
into.
He said it would be nice to feel like I belong sometimes or something, I was like, oh, I believe you.
Yeah.
I want to not hate you.
Exactly.
God, an alliance between him and Anna. Mm-hmm. Talk about making me nervous.
I
that
know.
One would
that.
Make
but
me
you remember,
really nervous.
Was it last series when they were doing that? Where, you know, partly because when he went in there and he took the beating for Jimmy to help Jimmy escape. And so you started going, wow, you know, you got to see other sides of him.
Right.
And you just saw just an inkling of it with Anna in this particular scene.
Right.
And I'm going, I want more of that stuff because I want that guy really, I want that character really fleshed out.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that, one of the comments that was made that I saw was there were apparently a lot of articles written about this and a lot of interviews about from Julian Fellowes as well as Robert Collier.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I think was fascinating that I wish we could really have seen or could have been made more plain for people like me who maybe aren't super savvy while we're watching, I just get caught up in the, in the beauty of things, was the idea that the reason why Thomas is such a bastard to people is because he feels so persecuted because of not being able to be himself.
I don't know.
You know, and
obvious.
That, I mean, that makes,
that, but
yeah, I mean, that's understandable, but it's not inexcusable.
It doesn't make you
know,
of
you,
an ass.
You still
well,
have
then,
to.
No, I know. But then the other thing is we didn't even learn he was gay. Till quite a ways into the series.
It wasn't the first,
you know?
It wasn't in the first series.
So, anyway, it's just another, it's another point
absolutely.
To make. And it's one of those things that we can't all go reading every document on Downton Abbey. I would like to have it maybe a little more.
Well, I think
things like
that's
that.
My point is, like, I think you have full room, and then Julian, go for it. This guy's first of all, it's a great character. How wonderful would it be? I mean, like if you take in Miss O'Brien. Everybody hated. And then by the end of the series or whatever it was, after two seasons, whatever you want to call them, then you turned around and everybody really started pulling for it. That'd be amazing.
Right.
And you
right.
could do the same with him.
And maybe they will.
Absolutely. But I mean, flesh that character out some more and give us more sides to him. So but here again, it is great to just hate somebody.
Yeah. Because you need somebody to stir the pot. Yeah. But the Baxter thing for me is getting old. When he had to tell the whole thing to Mosley, and I was just like, come on, Thomas. We just had a moment.
Yeah. Well, since you go there, let's go there now.
Oh. Baxter?
Yeah,
or
the whole Baxter.
And
here's the thing. We already knew the story because we just heard it. So it was kind of a repeat for us, at least the audience. It wasn't a repeat for Mosley.
Right.
But, I was going, you don't have to do this quicker because we already know all this information. Yeah. And then they dragged out in two scenes and three scenes, and I'm going, but poor Mopey Mosley.
Right.
He's now seeing Baxter in a different light because, he can't accept, by the way, that she's just a common thief. He's got to think there's more to it, but I guess, Thomas pretty much says it flat out. And then when she confronts him, she gives it all up, But again, we still don't know.
No, we don't.
She
the whole story.
Why.
We don't even know when she talks to Cora again. But Mosley's the one that's affected by it the most, and he's having such a hard time with it. They took that moment with him outside and him just thinking about it, and you started to feel sorry for Mosley.
Yeah.
Starting to make a connection with somebody. And it just
can't catch a break, brother.
Because he's Mopey Mosley.
Exactly.
The interesting thing about that, the comment that came out of Baxter in more than one way, was I am not that person anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the seed that Julian Fellowes has planted. Why are you not? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And. I have no idea. Cora brought it up it got kind of brought up with Cora. I told you the whole story. No, you haven't,
And what it's done is I really want to know what the reason was now. It's like, what was the impetus? Because she even says it doesn't matter who said it or what the motivation was. She is now taking responsibility and said that, I'm not. What's the point of passing
the blame
on to somebody else?
And that's admirable,
absolutely.
First time, but the fourth time, I kind of want to know. I get it. I'm responsible.
Okay, but do you think she's just saying then that in order to avoid actually saying?
I mean, there has to be a reason why she did it, even if it was just, I really wanted a brand new dress and my boss wouldn't give me a raise. It might be a selfish reason, but it wasn't just one day I woke up and I'm a common thief. She said she worked for these people for a long time. It was a great family. They were great to her. She had no ill will towards them in any way. So do you really just wake up and decide, I think I need some more money. I'm going to steal.
It does feel like there was some prodding or some lever point that somebody was.
Right. So it's either a noble cause or an unavoidable cause that came up against her.
So, but that's what it's making me. It's like, okay, now I want to know. I didn't care before, but now I want to know.
Give me something.
And I also want to know why she's, I'm not that person anymore. So what happened that changed that?
Jail.
Was it prison? Was it something else?
Yeah.
Was it the effect that it had on the person that she did it for? I mean, who knows? So that's I find that very fascinating.
Yeah, part of it, though, it's going to be a great reveal when it happens.
We hope.
We hope. Was her choice so noble that she can't even tell Cora,
That would be a challenge to come up with something.
Let's put our trust in Julian Fellowes. Let's see what happens.
All right, but I didn't know what else to do with that because that was that was one of those storylines I go, they just nudged it along a little bit that they really didn't, there wasn't a lot of revealed in that.
Right. So can I just make a general comment about, so last episode was full of so many catching you ups on things. This one felt a little bit we've got this many episodes to get through the entire series and we're only going to move a little bit forward. It was in a way a little bit unsatisfying because we were kind of going over the things we'd already gone
over. Already set up.
That's true.
Right? Did you feel that way?
Yeah. I kept saying, you're nudging it. Give me, reveal something.
I got most excited at the previews. for the next episode. Really? So I was like,
Well, case in point is the whole Edith storyline, which, you know, last episode, he says we're going to have to do something where you can live the truth rather than have to tell the truth.
Right.
So and, you know, we had all surmised, well, she's going to become a godmother. Whatever. And, of course, that's what he invokes that word.
Right.
And the scenes, just about every scene at their place at Tim and Margie's, it's the same kind of scene. It's barely progressing. And so, and that's fine and dandy, but it doesn't really progress the storyline, and it's kind of
it was a planting of a seed moment where Marjorie, I think was his wife's name,
Margie, as he calls it,
said, you know, hang on a minute. So there's a little pushback from her.
Yeah, but we saw that in the first scene. It was just a little bigger push. In the second scene, I'm going, why are you, you know, move this
It was
along?
Just real awkward.
Yeah.
Like, really awkward.
So, but I thought it was also interesting that she had to ask mom and dad, their advice or approval, or whatever that she was seeking from them. And then to have Lord Grantham say, oh, you know,
sure.
The whole thing, yeah, well, that's your money, dude. But then privately with Corey, he's just saying, well, you know, Gregson's gone and, you know, she's seeing her niece and nephews. Yeah. She just needs someone to love. But he said it kind of cavalierly because the last thing he says is like, what was the word? What was the phrase he said about maybe they won't get tired of her or something?
Yeah, you
like,
can't
what?
Throw away when you get
bored. No, no, but there, he was saying specifically about Edith and how I don't know the exact words. Something about not either they not tire of her or they deal with her.
Won't get
And I'm just going, what? Even
maybe he's kind of accepted. Well, maybe he has obviously accepted that she's sort of like the spinster daughter that's probably never going to be anything. So he's just like,
but
just
which
do
is
what
weird
can,
because she did the whole journalism thing and wrote the stuff.
But
and,
that's not anything to him.
Well, yeah, but it was a huge thing when it happened because he couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I mean it's not what he would want from her, but she obviously accomplished something.
No, not
but
really.
Not to him. You're saying
no,
you
not
don't
really.
Think so?
No,
huh?
Not really.
All right.
He's like, great, you went and did that.
Yeah, how horrible for your dad to think that. poor Edith comes true again.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, but what else do we want to say about that?
Oh, the photo that was found in the first scene, right? So the photo was found in the bed, in Edith's bed, that was a baby picture. Mm-hmm. Anna picks it up, is like, hot potato.
Like, I don't want this.
Hot potato, Mrs. Hughes,
another
take it.
Wow.
And Mrs. Hughes takes it.
Yeah,
and
she's
like,
oh.
And she's like,
I can't remember.
Geez, you're right, hot potato. Let me hide that.
I can't remember. Does she know anything about? Does she have any suspicions?
I don't think she does.
I can't remember if she knows
anything. I don't think so. It was just Violet and the aunt.
And Rosamund, yeah.
Rosamund.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just curious.
Drew.
I didn't know if she had any knowledge. Because sometimes Mrs. Hughes knows stuff.
Has ears.
Yeah, because she knows everything almost. So. Okay.
By the way, one of our Twitter fans was saying to me that they've really got to find out about Gregson and really need to know if he's coming back.
Yes.
Because there needs to be resolution for this story. And Gregson character, who's on Twitter as well, I don't know the origin because I haven't had the time to research it, said, I certainly do hope I come back, my friends. So that was fun.
Right. So a Twitter character.
Yeah,
As Gregson says yes.
I certainly agree with you. I hope I come back too.
Yeah, so you're just going to get, you know, become the godmother, get more and more involved, cause a rift between Margie and
that
Tim.
Was just, I mean, couldn't he have a talk with his wife? Like, that was just weird.
It was weird, but, you know, then he's going to have to basically fess up and say, yeah, I lied to you about the whole friend of mine who had a baby. So
he can regulate on her anyway because he's just like, she's about to be her godmother. Yeah. Like, she has a godmother. It doesn't matter. Like, so just be honest and tell her she's not allowed to talk.
How about Tim laying the groundwork? You know, the way he did it, though, is like, oh, you should spend more time. Won't that be great?
I swear he looked like he was standing on a vaudeville stage going, you!
I'm going to tell you
this. I mean, he was a little over the top with it. For me.
It was so awkward. Yeah. Poor wife, she's like, what do you mean? I'm her mom.
Yeah.
I'm doing everything.
I also like the last scene when, you know, they're kind of starting to get into it and then all the kids come in. So I'm going in the yard, call me when the food's ready. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
So, all right. But so she's going to somehow take a bigger interest, more public
education.
Interest. There you go.
But I like that the wife got to have her little bit of a moment to speak, and she was like, I don't want her to be a little doll to them.
Right.
Well, because they've probably been burned in those kind of situations before, and they know that these, you know, landed people or whatever they call them. Isn't that what they call them?
Sure.
Titled people.
Yeah.
You know, they're dilettantes. They're not going to.
Right. That's what I think. Yeah.
They
and they're going to be stuck doing all the work anyway.
Right.
So.
And putting back together the crushed, broken heart of
But it would be simpler for
expectations.
It would be simpler if Tim just told her.
Yeah. But maybe she'll gossip with her
Yeah.
Friends.
That's what I'm wondering. Does he not trust that she can keep that secret?
Ladies gossip.
Oh. Yeah. Don't Ladies trust the wife.
Write those
they
letters
talk.
And comments to
Courtney.
I'm one of them. I admit it. Sometimes you just can't hold it in.
I'll tell you what, Anna like, can keep a secret.
You know
so.
Who's got a baby? That's exactly what happened.
That's how it would go down?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Okay, so Michael Gregson.
Please, Margie, tell me more.
Michael Gregson is the Downton_Gregson says, I certainly do hope so, my friend.
Yes. So she's following along my suggestion that Gregson's going to come back this year, and then Gregson's thirding that, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Gregson himself.
All right, Gregson himself. Mm-hmm. All right, we already talked Baxter Mosley. Let's go to Simon.
Simon.
Richard
Where
Grant.
Come from, Simon?
Richard Grant comes in, makes a nice guest appearance here at Downton Abbey. Simon Bricker, a friend of Charles Blake's, and he's I'm not exactly sure, art historian. He's writing a book
he's
about the
a
art
book,
of the princess. But what a smart, what a great character. Flirting like crazy with Cora. Yeah.
Looking at beautiful things.
Yeah. Oh, ancient things. I can't agree. I mean, there's that.
Too
and then,
much.
Yeah.
And he's all tan.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Where have you been in Alexandria?
He's a dandy. So there's that. And then the second scene where he's looking at the smaller piece and she's telling about the who procured it for the family. And the
right.
Bastille
the second
and,
Earl. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's that. And then,
which is probably true.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. But
is
that's probably
because,
they did.
Right.
Get
because they had the
and they were in that great room,
the Carnivons who owned the.
Okay, but
hi, Claire.
But then Lord Grantham comes in and we're having coffee, not really paying attention to. But no, he wants ISIS out of there.
Okay, and since when does Lord Grantham announce coffee?
I know
just
that was
say,
very odd.
I thought
odd.
That was weird. There's but, coffee you know, in the other room. Don't exactly. you have like five servants to do that for you?
Exactly. And I, okay, what is it? Because he wanted to get the dog? Because he really
ISIS.
Wasn't interested in the.
Come
in
on,
the,
ISIS.
He looked at him a little askance, but then he was
he
like,
did.
My dog.
But
get
the comment he
here.
Makes about the whole thing when he gets all upset, that was my favorite
Oh, my God,
line.
When they're in their bedroom?
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite stuff.
Could you kind of tell Bricker to stop flirting with ISIS?
Oh, my God, yeah. what were the specifics?
Where's the line?
Well, he said, there's nothing more ill-bred.
Than to steal the affection of
another
man's dog.
Yeah.
Or something akin to that.
Nothing.
Nothing. There's nothing more ill-bred.
Absolutely nothing more
How
ill-bred.
How dare you?
Yeah. It's okay. He doesn't seem to mind that he's flirting with Cora.
Does
but,
he even
but don't mess
he
with my dog,
know.
Damn it.
Is he that clueless, really?
I don't know. I mean, I mean, the whole thing was all this metaphor and innuendo. I'm going, is he... But usually they talk these things.
Yeah.
They don't do this passive aggressive
thing in that conversation.
Clueless.
He really
yeah.
doesn't
I was,
seem.
Like, I was on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Is like, really? Did and then know? Her line, yeah, okay, I'll tell him to stop
I'll
flirting.
With your dog.
Yeah.
With your dog,
yeah.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of dogs, we also got corrected on that.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, the dog ISIS is the second dog.
Is the second dog. Yeah. So there you go. So that was
if you want to look at last week's YouTube, there's a comment underneath there by Pedro.
Thank you for
Pedro.
Thank you for clarifying that. We appreciate you doing that.
Always catching us.
All right. Yeah, so look, I guess he is that clueless on whether or not his wife is being hit on by some dandy.
Well, remember
or maybe
couple,
he just doesn't care because he realizes nothing's going to come of it.
Remember a couple seasons ago, Lord Grantham was having a little, rub up against
on.
One of the...
Nice.
One of the gals, thank you. And Cora seems quite happy. She doesn't seem discontent in any way.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
but,
going anywhere.
But, you know, so that's you don't think it's going to go anywhere?
Nah. I mean, not on her end, I don't think.
You
I haven't
think
seen
so?
It. I haven't seen indication that that she would yet.
She giggled a little bit too.
Oh, yeah, but only because
not
she was flattered by it. I mean,
yeah.
But not with him. Him, really? Him?
I mean, I don't know. Crazier things have happened.
I mean, my God.
We need to do something to spice it up between the Lord
no,
and
no,
the
that
lady.
Part's fine, but not with that character.
I agree. He's absolutely ridiculous. But.
Yeah.
But that
We've seen more ridiculous things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe she
I guess.
Wants to get a little brown too, and they'll go brown together. Possibly.
I don't know about the comments on that. I think.
Okay, Courtney.
Brown's not a euphemism in this case. I think, well, maybe it was. I'm not sure. But we'll move on from that. Okay, so what have we talked about here? Oh, the horde. Okay, let's get on to it. So, Lord Merton, again, another story kicked down the line.
Yeah.
Here we have Violet bringing. Okay, the first time we have tea is with Clarkson and Isabel and Violet teasing again mercilessly. But I'm not exactly sure who she's just pulling.
I'm confused by the storyline now, and maybe again I'm being thick, but there's. You know, we talked about how last week we think Violet is threatened by the idea that Isabel is going to become a titled lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by marrying Lord Merton.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so now she's setting up. So we thought, okay, great. So she's going to set up more conversations for her with Dr. Clarkson so that they can get together and it'll put her off of the scent of Lord Merton. And then she sets up a luncheon and invites Isabel with her to Lord Merton's
house. Well, she says we were invited, so I don't know if Lord Merton actually invited him or not. But it's like, it's the Dowager. She could get anybody out of anything. You know, she even said last week, the hard thing is, you know, not seeing your friends.
She's entertained by it at all.
Yeah, do you think that's what it is?
Is that it?
So I think she's sort of playing with
she does like to see Isabel squirm.
Isabel likes to see her squirm and joke. Because I was like, this makes absolutely no sense.
And she also likes to see Dr. Clarkson.
Exactly.
She's like, why is she throwing this in his face?
So she's just trifling with people.
I don't know, maybe.
I feel like she's bored and just wants to do it.
So that's what Courtney thinks. Okay, so she's bored and she just needs an activity.
And it's entertaining.
Okay.
Well, and all the knowing looks across the table.
Yeah.
Sure. And maybe she actually knows that there's like a real connection between Isabel and Dr. Clarkson, and that the other one is just like playing around. So she's gonna make it happen.
So you think? Okay.
Sort of she's getting there. She's playing the chess game as opposed to the checkers game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay.
All right.
That's fine. But because I was going. I don't quite get what's going on here. But you know, again, it doesn't need to be revealed now. It's kind of fun to watch it because it is fun to see she and Isabel go at it and have their little things and just getting out of the carriage or was it the car? Excuse me. When they get to Lord Merton's and she says, "I'd love to see the cards." It is his house, and she has to have the last word. I know it's his house.
I know it's his house.
Yeah,
it's his Merton Manor over the top.
So they clearly are just having. I'm just wondering. I'm going. Is Julian going? Ah, screw it. I love these scenes. I'm just going to write another
just
one.
Just write them, and they're fun. And
because it's not really progressing, so to speak, but it's fun.
Well, you know, one of the things that people love about Downton Abbey is that it takes its time.
Well,
you know,
that's true.
It's not 24. It's not Happy Valley.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Good Lord. If you haven't seen Happy Valley, you must.
Okay.
You must. Speaking of O'Brien, who's in Happy Valley. But, you know, one of the things that people love about Downton Abbey is that it's slow.
Yeah.
I knew we take our time and look at things and
going on our long
maybe
walk.
We're getting tired of taking our time. Is that
no,
what you're saying?
I think it's me because I just like the story. If you're going to – I don't like scenes that pretty much say the same thing. I don't mind going back there a couple of times. But it would be nice if they moved the story along or add another layer, give us a different texture because for me that's more interesting than a repeat. That's all.
I agree with you.
So, and I don't mind taking time.
Well, here's to your point. Cora even says to Lord Grantham when he makes the comment about the hotel or the pub.
Yeah.
She's like, you said that one already. It's like, only do you know Cora, we know. So maybe we need to get it moving.
All right, but we haven't talked Pat Moore setting up.
Daisy.
She calls on Dummy Bunting to give Daisy some lessons. I'm sorry.
She's not so dummy. She's obviously the smart one if she's tutoring.
Teacher Bunting
in this instance.
To help Daisy with her, tutor her with her math.
She was going
to
pay for it and everything. It was so sweet.
Yeah, that wasn't like, but then she realizes, what am I doing? I'm losing my help. No good deed.
I just doubled my own duties.
Exactly. So, but of course, since that started, Bunting happens to be there during the dinner, and then Rose, of course, let's invite her because Rose can't help but screw something up. So, and she checks with Cora, but asks Bunting. But then I loved how Lord Grantham got all upset again.
Yes,
finding that she might
with her insufferable woman.
Is it the tin pot? What is it? Rose Luxembourg line. Whatever the heck that line was.
Yeah, tin pot Rose.
Yeah, I didn't. I have no idea what that meant. Maybe some people will let us know because I didn't have time to research that either. But that was like how
obviously it wasn't a compliment.
No. Wasn't at all.
We knew.
But I like how excited he just he's so easily excitable about things like that because he can't stand to have anybody like that at the dinner table. It's so rude to get into those discussions.
Well, but then you realize that later when he's talking to Cora, it's not so much about yes, he irritates her at dinner, but yeah, he's challenged because he's concerned that she's going to get together with Tom, right, and they're going to take his baby, oldest grandchild, yes, off to America.
Yes, by
in a gutter,
raised in a sewer,
raised by some harpy in an American, sewer, which was awesome. I can't wait to see that storyline. I want to know who the heck the harpy is. I want to see
where that sewer
that's
is.
That's right. I want to see the whole thing. This is going to be good. So, yeah, he gets very not happy with the idea that Sibby might not be there. And I'm going, what do you – well, sorry, that's her father.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about it. Your grandkid moves to the new country. You don't ever see them again.
I know.
Even if you do, it's a really long time.
Which I'm going – I know, but if you want Sibby, then you got to find some way to relate to Tom better.
Because they've had moments of relating.
I know, but not this series, this season in particular. Because look, Tom's got no reason to stay. You're not giving him any reason to stay.
You've made that appointment, but you've made that point before in other seasons. You've talked about that. And
what's there for him?
Well, he's invested now in the family. He's invested now in
but everything
the
he says is, I still, the, yeah, I don't know
well,
if
that's because
there,
there's
there,
a part of him that's not fulfilled, obviously.
That's right? My point, but
that is, to say there's nothing for him to stay for, John is harsh. He's got lots there. The roots of his daughter.
Yeah,
there.
But again, but if the roots of his daughter are tied up into this aristocracy, which I don't agree with at all, why do I really want my kid going up
he
there?
He doesn't necessarily agree with them, but he empathizes and understands them now in a very that he didn't before.
That's very
so
true. He doesn't break out in hives when he has to wear the white tie anymore.
True, that's true, absolutely true. But he still feels like he's left his principles behind, clearly.
Right.
And Mrs. Bunting calls it that. All I'm saying is if you really want your grandchild to be part of your family the whole time, then you got to do a better job with the father.
He got the wireless. What do you want from him?
Stop being just an idiot and a jerk at the dinner table and getting into arguments all the time. But anyway, so that's my point about it. I mean, you got to do something.
Well, and
reach across the aisle a little bit.
You know, perhaps it's that the pendulum swing. So Tom used to be way over, you know, mm-hmm, with being this activist when Sybil was alive. Now he's back to being the aristocrat. And now Sarah Bunting is challenging him to think about the origins of where he came from. And but I think you're making a very good point that Lord Grantham, if he wants him to stay, has got to figure out how to not be an antagonist to him, but how to continue to bring him into the fold of the
family.
That's
all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point.
It's not a hard thing to figure out.
So then he has a reason to stay.
Exactly.
Well, because Bunting is there giving him every reason to leave, saying
well,
things
not
like...
not really. She's giving him the, like, hot mess of a reason. Like, like, dude, you have a child now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, your life is not running free from the Irish people? Like, it's not the same. Like, you're not in the same place in your life at this point.
Right.
So she's, like, the idealist, and he's...
Well, yeah, and reminding him of his idealism. I mean, you're the one that said the things or whatever... That got Sybil to come up with a park fence or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, all that kind of
stuff. That line upset me so much.
It upset you? Why?
Because it was so right. And I was like, don't listen to her.
Wait a minute. Why don't you want him to listen to her?
Because I think that he is needed where he is. Uh-huh. And that if he can find a way to sort of navigate that space of what he wants to believe in and where he is in life, like he can actually pull them the same way that he pulled Sybil.
I agree.
And I just don't want idiot Bunting to like have him like run off somewhere and do something stupid, like impregnate her and then they have to be together.
God,
like I just don't want it.
No.
I don't like her. Obviously.
Yes. I think you've made that abundantly clear. So, okay, the last thing we got to talk to before we get into the news. Carson, the memorial. I'm sorry, the Garden of Remembrance. So we have the contingent. We have Lord Grantham, Carson out there. And even Tom's with him looking
on
at
the soccer pitch.
No, not the soccer pitch. The cricket pitch. And, you know, obviously the two camps deciding whether or not this is a good place. And then the argument it keeps going on. And even Mrs. Hughes isn't on his side. Very disappointing
for
Carson.
Disappointing.
He does not like being not on the same page or on a different page and disagreeing. I go, that was interesting.
But every relationship has its ups and downs.
yeah, exactly.
She's okay. She knows she knows where she is. Yeah. She knows that
and she's okay
she's
with
on
the disagreement.
And she knows she's on the side of modernity and seeing how things can change.
And I thought it was interesting with Lord, because Lord Lord Grantham and Carson are rarely at odds. And here we had them actually, you know, saying things, little barbs here and there, getting the getting the look from each other.
Right.
So that was nice. And of course, until they come upon Mrs. Elkins, is it? With her son Robbie and the graveyard.
And Carson saying, I'd rather be convinced than defeated, which I thought was a really important position for him to take.
He was open to something else.
Yes.
So, and what convinced them, of course, is the young lad at the cemetery.
Visiting his father's grave.
And doing honor and justice to his life and stuff. So we get to see, okay, there you go. That's
when I watched that, I went, game, set, match.
Anything else you need to say, Carson?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
But you knew he was open to it, not only just because he said that line about it, rather be convinced than defeated, but he hated being on opposite sides
of the people he cares about.
Yeah, he was, you know, he was really wanting to be in agreement that he did not like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of the way he said it too. You could really see that he just did not
like. He doesn't want any more discord.
No,
I want harmony. Can't we all get along?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially with her.
Get along and keep it simple.
That was the big deal. And then the whole scene they had there at the end. With the, you know, saying, you know,
the two of them, her checking herself in the looking glass.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, she was like, oh, you're making me get all those. Yeah. So good.
That was very reminiscent of the beachside scene we saw last season. So that was nice, a continuation there. And even more so because I thought that was a little
was
more
intimate,
even deeper. And that was really nice. Of course, it gets interrupted by Thomas bringing the police in and doing the scaremongering.
Yep.
So we're going to end our podcast before we get into the news, is where we talk about the fact that the police have a witness
to Mr.
Green. So we have nothing other than that. That was a nice little cliffhanger.
I knew we weren't done with
that
story.
Not.
Of
course
we couldn't be done with it. It was
clean, easy.
It was tied up too neatly with no visuals, nothing. Yeah.
So, and I also love Mrs. Hughes, the way she's looking, because you can see her mind going crazy, like, what the heck? Who knows what?
Because she is in on all of it.
All right. Well,
I have a couple of points that I want to make. Okay, when the wireless came up and they were listening to the king,
everyone's
standing, and Rose saying, golly, isn't it thrilling? Yeah. You know, the look on her face and that, you know, moment that you're seeing technology move forward. I loved that. Mm-hmm. Violet talking about Lord Merton frisking about her skirts.
Yeah, because
great visual.
Yeah, because that's how he was doing it.
That's it. Those are the two things.
All right, let's get to our news.
All right, I got some news for us.
AfterBuzz TV news.
Ratings are sharply down for series 5 of Downton Abbey.
Surprised.
The first episode of the series garnered 8.1 million viewers, down from the series 4's 9.5 million for the first episode.
Wow.
And this week's episode drew 1.5 million viewers fewer than the second episode of last season, the same episode of last series. Perhaps that's why the season is so saucy, because they've got to get the ratings back up.
Do you think it was because it was too long between?
For
why they're down?
I feel that way. I don't know if they feel the same in the UK, but that's a year.
It's a long time.
It's the same every year.
I know, but see, in the beginning, it's newer, it's fresher. But I think because you're waiting, so you're just like, and other things come in. That's just my thought. I think
that's a very good possibility, because it's not so so
and
fresh
and
exciting.
Series. Like, it's not like it's 23 episodes that you have it, and then you're waiting. Like, it's 8, 10, and you're like, I have to wait another 40 weeks.
Yeah. The Guardian has dubbed this season Down There, Abby.
Whoa.
Because it says that all the characters are sex crazed.
Well, hello.
Down There, Abby.
I was calling it Downton Rabby, Randy.
Downton Randy, right? Okay, here we go, kids. Downton Abbey actor Brendan Coyle, who plays Mr. Bates, says the scripts for series 5 were very shocking as he read learned about his character's fate.
We had been led to believe
at the end of series 4 that Bates got away with it, whatever it was he got away with respect to Mr. Green. But now it seems that the law is on his tail.
The long arm of the law.
Okay. Brendan Coyle called the upcoming storyline involving Bates a surprise and further says, Julian Fellowes never fails to drop your jaw.
Okay.
Jaw-dropping. He says, him and Anna carry a heavy burden because of our storylines as a couple, and they have a very rough ride. But sometimes I think that overshadows the tenderness and the love and the support they have for each other. Mm-hmm. We have those moments, those quite uplifting moments and moments of reprieve, moments of love, and that's what we need. Okay. But it's jaw-dropping what happens with his character. Quick one here. Benedict Cumberbatch learned that sometimes your flippant comments come back to haunt you. Uh-huh. As we talked about here on this show, the star of the Sherlock series was quoted as saying that the second season of Downton Abbey was atrocious, and then found himself working with Dan Stevens on The Fifth Estate in 2013. Dan Stevens says he gave the actor a hard time while on the set, but just for fun. He said that Cumberbatch was mortified by his comments and added, "Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I think it was one of those awkward, out of context things that got spun into something silly." In a related story, Dan Stevens reported that his most surreal encounter with a Downton fan was when he was shooting on the set of Night at the Museum with apparent superfan Ben Stiller.
Star of Night of the Museum.
Stiller said, "I really have to ask you some Downton questions."
Oh my God.
To which Dan Stevens replied, "Okay, as long as I'm allowed to ask you some Zoolander questions."
Nice. Perfect.
Lovely.
And they traded facts and questions back and forth on the set.
Zoolander. Okay.
Quick shout outs. Pablo Castillo Dominguez. He's the one who gave us the dog.
Oh, Pablo.
Thank you.
Very much.
Information. Kerry Film. Reglavicor. Sorry, I can't figure out some of these names. Call the Shots 13. Ms. Sardonicus. Soren Crane. Trampadu. Nicole Wolke. Amelia Craig. Catherine Smith. Poetic Justice 1000. Loopy Lou. Always were some fun commenters and supporters for us this week.
Right,
I've got some fun stuff next week as well.
Keep your comments coming. Love to hear your theories and your thoughts on the show and the after show as well. So go to YouTube. Where else? What's that?
iTunes.
iTunes. I'm sorry. I was looking at Marissa and I forgot what she said. So do we have predictions? I don't have any. So should we just move on? Does anybody? Yeah. Okay. The song. Oh, now you got to do it.
Now,
the music's there. I made my big one last week by saying Gregson's coming back. So I.
Well, now that we read the news, I feel like Bates is gonna die.
Because
what else is jaw dropping? Like him going back to jail.
He can't go back to jail.
Jaw dropping. The only thing else is that he didn't do it and Anna did it, and that might be jaw dropping. Which I kind of thought a little bit because there was a little shot at the end of Anna. I needed to watch it again because I had to watch it really fast.
Of her saying, "Do you want to get out of town?" Right.
And I was like, "Did Anna do it some kind of way?" And then I had to try to remember how it happened when he went out of town and what she was doing. I can't remember, so I got to watch that episode again because I was like, "Did Anna do it?" And this is what's going to happen. And she's going to end up being in jail, and I can't handle it. I needed them to be okay this season.
That is so much better than an unfortunate hunting accident.
Because we would love for Anna to have gotten her revenge, but not to have to go to jail for it.
No, she can't go to jail. But if you watch last season of our show, you know what I mean by that. But I'm still holding out hope that whatever the call me vindictive if you want.
Yeah.
But whatever.
No, this is a TV show. No, it's not real.
Right.
It's okay.
No, it's not real. Exactly. Of course, I don't conduct myself about these things in real life like that. But I wanted it to be. It needed to be satisfying. Yeah. That was my main complaint about last season, is that it wasn't satisfying, and so. It may be jaw-dropping, but, God, it has to be satisfying.
Yeah.
All right.
It has to be. I don't have a prediction. I'm sorry.
Right,
I don't have
fine.
Anything.
Courtney, that was it.
I know. Now we're all going to be thinking.
Courtney's worry, her fretting about that particular.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I can't.
What else?
Could it be?
That your jaw is on the floor.
I don't think we can go any farther because I think that's a great note to end on.
Yeah.
So, Courtney, why don't you let them know where they can find you?
You can find me on social media at Stuart Starlet.
Period. The end. Yeah. Look, I want you all to go out and have an excellent week of sketching. And you can find me.
That's the new hashtag. I'm sketching.
I'm sketching. Don't bother me. I'm sketching. At Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg on Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com.
You can find me doing a still life later tonight.
Lord Cumberford.
Okay, on behalf of everybody here, we want to thank you very much for tuning in. Keep watching and tune in next week, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Cup of tea.
I almost
said it. The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.